You are listening to KUCI 88.9 in Irvine. The opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the management of KUCI or the UC Board of Regents. For more information about this show, go to kuci.org. Welcome to In the Garden with UC Master Gardeners. I am Katrina Kirkby, and I am your host today with In the Garden. I'm here today with Chuck Nichols, and Chuck Nichols is going to be talking to us today about our own Newport Back Bay. Welcome, Chuck.
Hello, Katrina.
Chuck, could you tell us a little bit about yourself and a little bit about Back Bay?
Well, I started as a volunteer at Upper Newport Bay approximately 10 years ago. After I retired, I was looking for something to do, and walked in and said, give me something to work at. And they gave me some small jobs to do. I eventually became a full-time volunteer and a docent. And I lead hikes at Upper Newport Bay. I work at the Marine Life Inventory. And I work in the Native Plant Nursery, where I'm now the lead for the UC Master Gardeners at Upper Newport Bay.
Wow, exciting. You know, there's so much about Back Bay. Could you just give us a little overall about it? What is it? How big is it? How long has it been there? And what's in it?
Well, Upper Newport Bay is a real treasure of Orange County. It's a 900-acre coastal estuary. And the importance of that is that in the state of California alone, approximately 95% of our coastal wetlands have been developed. And to have the largest coastal estuary right here in Newport Beach is a real treasure. A lot of people do know about Upper Newport Bay, but we consider it a hidden treasure because you drive past it, you look at it, you wonder at it, but not too many people inquire about it. So I'm going to inform you a bit about Upper Newport Bay. As I said, it's a 900-acre coastal estuary with approximately 1 square mile of marine estuarial water, which means that water from the ocean comes up through Lower Newport Bay and floods the bay, and it's mixed with fresh water that comes from inland sources and contains many nutrients, and this estuary habitat is extremely rich. The growth of plants and animals in the estuary equals that of a rainforest. So it's a very rich natural environment. And at Upper Newport Bay, you actually can see 6 different habitats that we have in Orange County, almost all of them, just in a very small area. You can see everything from the marine habitat of salt water. We have saltwater marsh. We then have coastal sage scrub environment. We have riparian environment, which is growth along a river. We have a freshwater marsh, and then we have upland plants like cactuses, all in a very small area in Upper Newport Bay. So if you're interested in learning about plants of Orange County, you can see them, almost all of them, at Upper Newport Bay. The other important things about coastal estuaries is, in our day and time now, we're very concerned about water and pure water. And one of the main functions of a coastal estuary is to purify water. Water that comes in from inland sources is usually full of silt and sometimes trash. Also, the chemicals in the water add to the pollution of our local waters. And when they flow through a coastal estuary like Newport Bay or Bolsa Chica, the roots of the plants, the depth of the water, the mud at the bottom of the bay all help to filter the water so that by the time it exits the bay, it's a lot cleaner than when it came into the bay. So you'll find that water off of a coastal wetlands very rarely is contaminated with bacteria or pollutants like the other beaches in our county. So that function is very important, but it also serves as a barrier to coastal storms. It reduces erosion along the beach. It also acts as a nursery for plants, fish, and birds. And the bird function is really interesting at Newport Bay because it's considered a birding hotspot in Southern California, one of the few. And birders come from all over the state and some from around the world to actually view the birds that stop at Upper Newport Bay. It is a stop along the Pacific Flyway, and during certain times of the year, there are up to 30,000 birds in the bay at one time, and almost 200 species of birds. It's the home to 7 endangered or threatened species, including one resident bird, which is called the clapper rail. Recently, it's changed names, but better known as the clapper rail. We also have peregrine falcons, California gnatcatchers, brown pelicans, and numerous other birds that stop by or live in the bay. And there's even one endangered plant, the salt marsh bird's beak, that's native to Upper Newport Bay. So it has a lot of interesting functions. Some of the other things that go on at the bay include education, as we have many educational tours and school programs. We have kayak tours every Saturday and Sunday. And we have outrigger tours where high school classes come and learn about Newport Bay. And it's also used recreationally. Back Bay Drive, which runs through Upper Newport Bay, is over 3 miles long and serves as a place where hikers and bikers, dog walkers can use that, as well as drivers. It's a city street. So there are many, many functions of Upper Newport Bay, and it's open to the public all the time.
You know, Chuck, you just mentioned so many things, and I think we're really going to be able to fill up our hour with all these different subjects we're talking about. How it is accessible to the layperson? We can come. Is there a charge to go there? How do you find out more about it?
Well, the bay is open via Back Bay Drive to walkers and bicyclists. And if you continue from one end to the other, we have 2 facilities at the bay. One is the Peter and Mary Muth Interpretive Center at the north end of the bay. And it's built into a hillside, very beautiful construction, built all with eco-friendly materials. And it contains exhibits that explain all of the functions of a coastal estuary and what's going on at Newport Bay and about the bird migrations. We also have a good collection of books that can be purchased there. We have classrooms, and we even have a movie theater which continuously shows movies produced by professional producers about Upper Newport Bay and about bird migrations. So it's really an interesting place. It's open to the public 6 days a week, closed on Monday, and a very, very useful facility. At the south end of the bay is the Back Bay Science Center, which is only open at certain times because it's a research and a working building used by various agencies, including the Department of Fish and Wildlife, the Orange County Health Department, which tests water there. So it really is a working building, but we do have lectures there on the first Wednesday night of each month and open community days on Sundays through the city of Newport Beach. So both facilities are quite extensive and quite interesting for the public. Also at the Back Bay Science Center, we had a native plant nursery. And there we collect seeds, sow the seeds, grow them into plants, and eventually put them back into the environment. And that's through our community-based restoration program at Upper Newport Bay. And that is open to the public. If you go on the website of UpperNewportBay.com, you'll see all of these activities listed. So the public has numerous ways to access the bay.
You know, I've been down there, and they're just so warm and welcoming. You know, whenever you go into either one of those, they love having people come in. They love having children come in. They love teaching. And it's a very nice environment if you want to go learn about what's in your environment here locally. And it also has wonderful places if you want to volunteer, you can volunteer. And people volunteer in different ways, and that's wonderful. And you could, when you look on the website, you can see what's right for you. Do you want to go hiking? Do you want to go kayaking? Do you want to learn a little bit more about what's going on down there? It's just a very nice place to go for a weekend or for a weekday.
It really is. And we have scheduled activities. Every Wednesday we have a steward's day in the native plant nursery where anybody can contribute. Just come in and get your hands dirty and plant seeds and grow plants and put them back out into the environment.
So somebody could, do they need to make an appointment to do that? How do they just get to walk in and say, I want to help? How does that work?
That's what you do. You walk in and you can help. We have master gardeners there to help instruct you on how to do things correctly. We have everything from children to seniors who come in every Wednesday and help us.
Could you tell us again what time of day, what time that is?
We usually start at 9 a.m., and it's at the Back Bay Science Center at the south end of the bay on Back Bay Drive. And the gate will be open.
Wonderful.
We also have what we call roots events on the third Saturday, where we actually take the plants that we've grown in the nursery and we plant them in various restoration sites around the bay. Usually have fairly large turnout for that. Again, public is always welcome.
And when is that again?
It's on the second or third Saturday of each month.
You know, tell us a little bit about restoration. Could we delve into that subject a little bit? What is restoration? What do we need to restore down there?
Well, restoration is become a ecological science where areas are restored to what their native state was supposed to be. That's a difficult thing to determine because we consider native what was here before the Spaniards came in the 1700s. They were written up by secretaries at the time of the Portola expedition that came through Southern California, and they actually described what was here. And that's the only information we have to define what the native vegetation and animals were before the Spaniards arrived. So we use that information, and we try to restore certain areas that have been overtaken with what we consider invasive or non-native plants. These are things like the beautiful yellow blooming black mustard that takes over all the hillsides in Southern California in the springtime. And that was actually planted by the Spaniards when they came because they brought their local foods from Spain with them in the form of seeds and even in the cattle feed that they brought with them. All of these things then grew in this environment, which is a Mediterranean environment, similar to Spain. And so the plants loved it, and all of these native or non-native grasses that we see all in Southern California, and these plants that we know that are non-native, like the mustard, we tend to remove those and plant what we consider California native plants. And we have quite a few of those, things like buckwheat and California sagebrush, the coastal sunflower, white and black sage, all of these beautiful coastal sage scrub plants, which are now becoming very popular because they grow very well with very limited water use. And now if you go hear about how we're handling the drought, California native plants play a big role in drought busting. So to learn about them and to see what they look like, take a walk at Upper Newport Bay and have somebody point them out to you, and you can see what would look good in your yard and save water at the same time.
Now, Chuck, we talk a lot as being master gardeners about water conservation and changing our yard. And with this drought going on, the talk is heightened. So this might be a place, if you're thinking about changing your yard, taking out the grass and putting in some natives and some low water plants, this might be a place to come and get some ideas and talk to folks.
Absolutely. Just coming to our nursery, you can see what the plants are like. And during certain days, like estuary day and coastal cleanup day, we actually have a plant sale. But there are many nurseries in the county that sell native California plants. And it's good to see what they look like when they're grown, when they're mature. So we can take you out in the field and show these things to you, and you can pick and choose which plants you'd like to grow at your home.
You know what's nice about that is that a lot of us, including myself, I see this beautiful little plant, and I want to go plant it. And I don't realize it's going to grow up to be 12 feet tall. And if you go here and you see things, you actually get to see what they look like if you don't prune them or do anything to them, so you know how much space to give in your property.
Absolutely. That's a great point, Katrina.
Well, and restoration, that's one day a week, did you say?
Well, that's the steward's day, and then the roots day on the third Saturday. And then Orange County Parks, which has the inland part of Upper Newport Bay, has a second Sunday work day as well, where you have another opportunity to plant plants. We also have a new restoration site, which we call the Bayview Mesa site, which is on near Bayview Park on Mesa Drive, on the north side of the bay near the Interpretive Center, and we're restoring about 7 acres of ground that has been compacted and nothing is growing on it. And we've had it plowed and we've had it tilled, and we've been planting over 5,000 native plants, and eventually we hope to have that look as natural as the rest of the bay.
You know, Chuck, could you give us the website again where we can go to find out more about this if we want to go?
Well, the best website for the public is NewportBayConservancy.org, NBC.org. And that one will have all the information for the public. If you just Googled Upper Newport Bay, you'd get there very easily.
Okay. And we're going to mention this several times through our show because people are driving in their cars and able to listen to little bits at a time, so I'm going to keep asking you for that website.
That's good. That's a great website. We also have another restoration area in the area called Big Canyon, which most people who know Newport Bay are familiar with. And it's a large area that extends from the bay clear to Jamboree Drive. And that area has been overtaken by certain non-native species, like the Brazilian pepper tree. And that area is now being restored with the help of the Irvine Ranch Conservancy as well. So there's a work day on the second Thursday at 9 o'clock in the morning in Big Canyon, if you're so interested. And that one you can get in touch with the Irvine Ranch Conservancy, and their website is letsgooutside.org. So there are many accesses to the bay, many groups that help work there, and many opportunities for the public.
Wow, you've given us a lot to think about and things that we can do. Let's talk about the plants and native plants a little bit more.
Well, native plants at Upper Newport Bay can range anywhere from desert plants to mountain plants because of those six different habitats that we talked about earlier. And so in California, in Southern California, according to where you live, which city you're in, whether you're on a hillside or not, what your soil is like, and what your sun exposure is like, how close you are to the ocean, all of these things come into play as to what plants would grow best in your particular yard. So again, you could come to the bay and look closer to the water, see which plants would grow in a more sandy, salty type environment. If you have hills in your backyard, you can look up on the hillside and see those plants which would grow better on the hills. And there are many, many, many plants that'll do that. But most of us are right in the middle of those extremes, and so most of the plants that will grow at Newport Bay will also grow in your backyard. And they can range from plants that bloom with beautiful yellow flowers, like the California encelia, the native sunflower, or the coastal golden bush, or those plants which are succulent, those plants which actually have fragrances, like the sages, which you actually can cook with as well, the white and black sage. So you have a large selection from the native plants that you might want to grow in your yard.
You know, Chuck, I'm going to segue a little bit. Now, I know that you took and you turned your yard into California natives. Was it hard to do? How do you like it? Was it worthwhile? Could you share a little bit about, some of us are like, I'm used to my grass, and I don't want to give up my grass, and can California natives actually look pretty in my yard? Or am I going to have a bunch of weeds? I've heard somebody say, I don't want a bunch of weeds in my yard. Can you have a presentable yard with California natives?
You really can. It turned out to be a matter of trial and error, because some things which look good in their native growing patterns, when you put them in your yard and you have irrigation, sometimes grow bigger or spread further than you think they would. And so some of them don't look like you want them to. So it's a matter of trial and error. But if you look on your street or in your neighborhood or close by in a park and you see what's actually growing, that's a good clue as to how it's going to look in your yard. But again, it's mainly going to be trial and error. Native plants in general will look fine. If they're overwatered, however, they tend to become larger and stringier. Also, you have to take into account that native plants grow better in the wintertime when we're supposed to be getting rain, and that's their growth season. So in the summertime, when other plants in Southern California are in their growing season, the native plants might become dormant and brown. So you have to get used to that appearance. Not all of them do that, but many of them do. As far as replacing grass is concerned, there are some Mediterranean-type grasses which are suggested to replace grass if you like to have turf. If you really want to get rid of it in the lowest possible water-saving way, you want to remove the grass and replace it with some type of a hard mulch like gravel or decomposed granite, and in the middle of that put planters, usually with succulent plants, which grow quite well in Southern California and use very little water. And there are many examples of how that can be grown. Any of the large local nurseries will have demonstrations of that particular appearance. And certainly any good landscaper should know those things now and can help you with that.
There's also a place called Tree of Life. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
And Tree of Life.
Is that a nice place to go and look at natives?
Yeah, Tree of Life Nursery is probably, in the state of California, one of the best native plant nurseries that there is. And it's down off Ortega Highway, very, very close to what's now Rancho Mission Viejo area. and they have native plants growing in their native environment. And they're all for sale. They have a wonderful program there where you can go down and learn about the native plants. They have classes all the time, especially on weekends. And they're more than willing to help you find the right plant for the right area. So that's a great resource we have in Southern California. Take advantage of it.
And we can also look on our website. Is that correct? It's uccemg.com.
Yes, our Master Gardener website has all sorts of useful information concerning replacing your existing yard with more water-wise plants. That's really the most popular subject today because of our drought.
And people have heard it that's listened to our show. We talk a lot about trying to conserve water. So these are some wonderful ideas to really bring down your water bill. And it's a lovely place to go to see how you could actually do it on your own property. Let's segue a little bit. And there's so many different things with Back Bay. Normally we talk about like what's going on in our garden, but Back Bay is just such a huge garden, and it brings so much to us. I know there's birds that come there. You know, we're lucky when we get some birds in our garden. What kind of birds come there? You mentioned about a flyaway. Could you tell us a bit about birds and flyaway in the estuary and how that affects the birds and how needed it is in our environment?
Well, birds tend to fly in flocks, and they tend to migrate. Most of the birds that come through Southern California are migratory birds, and they actually come, many of them, from northern Canada and Alaska. And they look for places to stop along the way because they get tired, and they get hungry, and they can fly a few hundred miles a day. So they look for water, and they look for food, and places along the coast, like coastal wetlands, are prime spots for these birds to stop and rest and eat. And sometimes when they find a place like Upper Newport Bay, they may stop for a month at a time on their way migrating down to South or Central America. So we're lucky enough to have this place where these birds do know to stop. And during the winter time, we see all of these migratory birds, either shorebirds that live along the coast, that live in the mud and eat the invertebrates in the mud. We also see the waterfowl, like ducks and geese, which stop by. And usually there are approximately 12 species of ducks and geese in the wintertime, and up to 200 total species at one time. They say up to 30,000 birds at a time. I know I helped do the Christmas bird count at Upper Newport Bay, and it takes us a better part of a day just to do a small segment of it because of the numerous birds that we see.
So this would be a good time to bring your binoculars.
Always bring your binoculars to Upper Newport Bay. You never know what you're going to see.
You might be happily surprised or shocked by what flies by.
Absolutely. And we even at the Back Bay Science Center have a nesting platform that was built. And it's up on the top of what appears to be a telephone pole. And over the last 7 years, we've had a pair of ospreys that nest there every year and have their young up there. And this was something unheard of to even think that ospreys would nest in Orange County. And they nest right there at the Back Bay Science Center. And we get to watch the young chicks and become fledglings and fly away. And before they fly away, they're banded so that they can be followed in future years and we can learn more about these birds.
What time of year, if we wanted to see that, what time of year would we come?
The best time of year is in the winter months because the birds that come from the north are fleeing the cold winter up there when the food is less available and coming to a warmer environment here and then on to South America where they can actually have warmer conditions. They can feed and get ready to go back up north where they nest and where they breed. So wintertime months, anywhere from September through February, March, are the high months for the bird counts at Upper Newport Bay.
Gotcha. Well, I'm going to take a minute to let our listeners know that you're listening to KUCI 88.9 in Irvine. And the opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the management of KUCI or the UC Board of Regents. For more information about the show, about this show, go to KUCI.org. Now, Chuck, the birds fly south in the wintertime. Where do they go in the summertime?
In the summer?
Well, I mean, when do they go back north?
Some of them will stop back again on their way to the on their way north. They usually will go back in the spring, early and late spring, to go back up north so they could reach their breeding grounds when it starts getting warm up there and when the insects start hatching so they have plenty of food to eat. And it's pretty much instinctive when they do these things. Bird migrations have been studied extensively, and literally it's a college course to learn all about bird migration. But they do tend to migrate definitely seasonally. They take weather into account, wind currents, very complex subject. But we do see them come and go through Upper Newport Bay. And after the birds disappear back up north, we get a whole new series of birds who either live here permanently and nest here, or other birds coming from other areas that come through on the way to migrate east and west. So at this time of year, we're talking now in late spring, early summer, we see birds like terns, many different types of terns, including the endangered least tern, come through Southern California. And the native birds that live here all the time, like the avocets and the stilts and the herons and the egrets, are also here. So there are always some birds to see, not quite as numerous as those in the wintertime. We also have a lot of inland birds, the small warblers and such, which are found more in the wooded areas, not so much at Newport Bay, but in some of our inland parks.
Sounds like a lovely place to be just for the birds. And there's fish and wildlife. Could you tell us a little bit about the wildlife that we might see there or what we might not see there, but it is there?
Well, one good thing is there's never been a rattlesnake reported at Upper Newport Bay. It's quite different from all of the other parks in inland and coastal Southern California where rattlesnakes are relatively prevalent this time of year. But
nice for those of us who have dogs, and my dogs have the rattlesnake shots, and they're going to rattlesnake training, and I'm always so hyperly aware of this time of year, especially this year the rattlesnakes are out, and to go to a place where I could walk my pet and have my kids and feel a bit safe is just an added bonus.
It really is. We have very little in the way of toxic or poisonous plants. There are some poison oak along Back Bay Drive, but it's not where the public usually goes. And other than a few stinging nettles here and there, which are relatively harmless, if you keep out of the cactus, you won't get hurt.
That sounds great. So what type of other animals animals that aren't flying might we see there?
Well, we have the predators, which include coyotes and bobcats, but they're really not seen often, probably not as much as they are in most neighborhoods in Orange County. They have a lot of places to hide at Upper Newport Bay and very rarely are seen. But they keep the balance of nature. They're the larger predators, and they keep the numbers of rabbits and rats and ground squirrels to a reasonable number. And you rarely will see large predators.
So what might be hiding in those bushes that we don't know is there?
Well, that's a good question. Rabbits, ground squirrels, little mice of all types are probably hiding in there. And it's really interesting because in nature they've used the California sagebrush as a safe zone for small animals. And it has such a fragrance that if they're being chased by a bobcat or a coyote, they know to get under the sagebrush because the coyote will lose the scent of the animal and just smell the sagebrush. And so rabbits especially know that trick. One of the things that you learn about nature when you're at Upper Newport Bay.
Interesting. I never knew that. Let's talk a little bit about the marine life as far as the fish and what's in the water and why Back Bay is so important.
Well, it's interesting because we do a marine life inventory once a month at the Back Bay Science Center done through the Department of Fish and Wildlife. And at that time, we take a sampling of the life of the bay, both with using a net at the beach and a net on a boat, where we do a trawl and see what's on the bottom of the bay. We do that in a sandy area so we don't disrupt the normal growth in the environment at the bottom of the bay. So we do it in the same place each month. We see what type of fish and invertebrates that we can pull up in the bay, and we use the count of these animals and plants as an indicator of the health of the bay. And all of this data is kept at the Back Bay Science Center, and we know from month to month and whether it has rained that month or not, whether there's more urban runoff that month or not, we can tell by the level of the marine life that we find in the bay. We also do a mud count, which we pull invertebrates from the mud. Kids love to do that. They love to get their hands in the mud. And so it's a really interesting activity. We do it mostly with groups of school children, but the public is welcome to come as well, as long as you make an appointment so we know how many people we have to deal with on that Saturday. It's usually the first Saturday of the month. And again, on the website, you can find the access to the marine life inventory.
Could you tell us a little bit more, if we wanted to do that, what exactly that does that consist of and what age groups are we talking about?
Usually, children under six don't get much from an activity like that. So we usually will say children from 6 years old to infinity, because anyone can learn from an activity like that. And when you'd come in, there's a small introduction that you get inside the Back Bay Science Center classroom, and then you're divided into groups, and you either go out on the boat to do a trawl, or you help with a beach seine, or you do a mud grab. These are the type of activities that take place, and then you rotate groups so that each group does each activity. And then you go up to the viewing area where we have two shallow tanks, and all of these organisms are put in the tanks, and the biologist will help categorize them and help count them. And then all of that data is taken by, usually by interns who help work there. And the data is then used. We also put some of the water sample under a projection microscope so you can see the planktons and all of the things that live in the water. So it's really an interesting experience.
And that's open to the public, and is there a charge for that?
There's no charge, and it's open to the public. But again, if we have large school groups, it sometimes gets tight on attendance.
Like with most things, we should probably call ahead.
Absolutely, absolutely.
I understand that you had a very interesting guest one time. Could you tell us a bit about that?
Well, it was a Saturday when I was going to work at the Marine Life Inventory at the Back Bay Science Center. It was back in 2008, and I was a few minutes late, So I was the last one to walk through the door. And as I was going to grab the door handle, I heard a voice behind me. And it said, "Hey, will you tell me about this place?" And I turned around, and it was Huell Hauser.
The Huell Hauser.
The Huell Hauser. And he was coming to do a show about Upper Newport Bay. And all of the people who had the plans for his day's activity were inside discussing what they were going to do during the day. But he grabbed me instead, and he said, "Tell me about this place." And so I gave him a very short introduction to the bay. And he said, "You know, I like the way you talk." He says, "Why don't you stay with me today?" And I said, "Well, I can't do that. I'm just a volunteer, and all these other people have a schedule for you." Well, the way it turned out was that I stayed with him most of the day, but all of these other folks from the Department of Fish and Wildlife, from the Conservation Corps, from the California Coastal Commission, they all talked to Huell and told them all about the bay. And then he would come to me and he'd say, "Chuck, what did he say?" And so just like I'm talking to you and to Katrina today, I talked to him and I said, "Well, they're saying there are birds that come here at certain seasons, and there are ducks and geese and warblers and so on." And I would explain, you know, Back Bay Drive, lots of people use that. They ride their bikes, they walk their dogs, they take a hike. And little did I know when I watched the show the following month that he would put me on instead of those people who were the official greeters. And I was really surprised. But that's the way Huell was. He was an ordinary guy who liked talking to ordinary people. And he stayed with us for about 5 or 6 hours that day. And I got to know him, and he signed a picture for me. And I'll always have that memory.
Oh, what a wonderful memory. Well, Chuck, what would you like to talk about now? We have about another, 20 minutes or so. And there's just so much there. Is there a passion that you have that you'd like to talk about?
Well, I think an interesting aspect of Upper Newport Bay is the history of it. First of all, because it was supposed to look a lot like Lower Newport Bay. There were plans for developing that bay into a marina with hotels all around it.
Oh, my.
And at the time, it was, when I first came to Orange County, and when many people who've been here for a while realized, it was an open place that people loved to come to, and they actually did water skiing there, and they swam in the bay, and it was a large recreational area for people at that time. Of course, there weren't as many people in Orange County, but lots of people used the bay at that time. When it became evident that it was going to be developed, a bunch of people who lived in the area around the bay became concerned and formed a concerned citizens group called the Friends of Upper Newport Bay. This was back in 1968. And at that time, we had just gone through the Santa Barbara oil spill. And Rachel Carson had just written a book about polluting the environment. And people were becoming much more environmentally aware. And so this group took hold. And the first meeting they had a walk around Upper Newport Bay, and 1,500 people showed up. This showed that the citizens were really concerned about saving the bay from development. They felt there was enough development around that they could keep an area open for nature. And over the years, the next 10 years were full of lawsuits and counterclaims by the development company and referral to ancient laws about what coastal land should be and whether it should be in trust for the people forever. Went to the California Supreme Court, and eventually the ruling came down that this area should be in the public domain. And so in 1975, the development company donated this land for an ecologic reserve, which it is today. gradually over the years, more was added to it. The land around the bay, part of Orange County Parks, and it's part of of the Upper Newport Bay Nature Preserve. Also, the Back Bay, the Big Canyon area was added by the city of Newport Beach. So the total acreage is close to 1,000 acres. And it's all open to the public, and it's supposedly in the public domain forever.
Hallelujah.
What a wonderful victory for people's rights, for people to be able to determine the outcome of very important issues. And that was one of the first times in the county that the people actually stood up for something environmental.
You know, those people, we really need to thank. I don't know who they are. I wish I could thank them personally. But I really have a deep gratitude for the countless hours of volunteer time and steadiness to get this taken care of.
Well, it was a couple named Fran and Frank Robinson who were the beginning of the Friends of Upper Newport Bay. And then Peter and Mary Muth, who contributed the Interpretive Center, were also early pioneers, and they should be remembered. The other thing important about the history of Upper Newport Bay is that the earliest archaeological findings of settlers in Orange County was found on the highlands above Upper Newport Bay, dated back about 7,000 years. So there were Native Americans living in that area for at least that long, maybe longer. And there were basically two groups. And the latest group, which actually came about 2,000 years ago, are still local in Orange County. They're what were called the Gabrielinos and the Luisinos, later became known as the Tongva and the Ahachaman tribes, and they still live in Orange County. They live in San Diego County and Los Angeles County. So Native Americans have always been present, and they lived many, many years in the areas around Upper Newport Bay and all through Orange County, and they learned to use what was in nature. They learned to use all the plants. They knew that taking the leaves and stems and roots of these plants would be beneficial either medicinally or nutritionally. And so they learned about each plant and they knew what they could do to survive with each plant. And I'm sure they did it by trial and error over those thousands of years. But many of the things that they used the plants for, we can still use them for today. Cattails, for instance, in the freshwater marsh, they actually ate the roots of those, and they were very much like a soft radish. They used the stems of the plants, the long reed-like things they used to make thatched roofs for their dwellings. And they used the fuzzy heads of the seed pods for insulation and even for baby diapers. So really interesting how they used the native plants. Also the willow trees. The bark of the willow tree was found to take care of people's pain. And when it was later analyzed by chemists, it was found to have salicylic acid, which is aspirin. So they discovered aspirin long before we knew anything about it. So those are interesting things that you can learn from learning about the areas where we live in Orange County, and especially Upper Newport Bay.
Wonderful. We have about 5 minutes left in our show today. Would you like to do a little bit of a wrap-up or tell us something that we haven't talked about or a passion of yours?
Well, I think it's really important that everyone in Orange County recognize that we have many of these open spaces for their use and for their enjoyment and for their education. And to go on the websites, say the Upper Newport Bay website and the Master Gardener website, Irvine Ranch Conservancy website. These are all great sites to determine what you'd like to do in Orange County. These things were fought for historically by citizens groups to save it for nature, and this is the time when they need to be used. And during this time of drought, we need to use these places as examples of what we can do to save water by using native plants. I think those are the important things we can learn from places like Newport Bay and from groups like Master Gardeners of Orange County.
Exactly. There is so much to do there. You could spend a whole day there. You could spend weeks there. And it's free to the public. It's welcoming. It's time to come and explore. This is a little different from a normal show that we usually do, because we usually talk about gardening in our yard. But this is one big garden, so to speak. And it's a precious resource that we have. And it's a great place to bring children. It's a great place to take a walk. It's a great place to go kayaking. And it's just, if you haven't been there, think about going. If you've been there, think about going again, or things that you haven't done. There's a little bit of something for everybody there.
That's right, Katrina. Thank you for summing that up so well. I think that points out to everybody the importance of places like that.
Well, Chuck, I want to thank you so much for being here today. We really, really appreciate your time and your energy and your knowledge, and it's so obvious you're so knowledgeable about Back Bay. I've learned a lot myself, and I want to thank everybody for listening. And I'm Katrina Kirkaby with In the Garden with UC Master Gardeners, and I hope everybody has a pleasant day, and thank you so much for listening to us.